I'm not what God would have me to be. Does it mean we're to be milquetoast? To be a soldier implies we are to be strong. We're to be strong soldiers in the army of the Lord, but nonetheless, we're to be men and women of love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and all faith, so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I can be the most talented man in the brotherhood. You could be the most talented man or woman in the brotherhood. But if you don't have love, he says, you're nothing. Oh, I give my body to be burned, but without love, it profit me nothing. This morning, we looked at five of these points in 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffereth long, love is kind, love envieth not, love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, and doth not behave itself unseemly. This evening, we're going to see how love seeketh not her own. Love is not easily provoked. Love rejoices not in iniquity, thinketh no evil, but rejoices in the truth. And love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. But first of all, this evening, love seeketh not her own. Times will come in your life that you have to make a decision. Is it what I want, or is it what my brother wants or my sister wants? Time will come in your life when you must practice self-discipline. Paul understood this. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I bring my body under subjection, and I add the word daily, lest by any means what I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. In Romans 15, verse 1, ye who are strong spiritually ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We need to look out for one another. But these men and women that's been in the Word of God for many years, we should be strong in the Word of God, and we should not be influential trying to have our way over those that are not as strong spiritually. Listen to me. If it's not a violation of Scripture, then we who are spiritually strong to help build up the weak brother or weak sister, we should allow them to have their way. Paul says, I am free from the blood of... No, excuse me. I am free from all men, 1 Corinthians 9:19. Yet I have made myself a servant to all, that I might gain the more. To the Jews, became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jew. To those within the law, as within the law, that I might gain those in the law. Without the law, as without the law, became I as those that are without the law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I became all things to all men, that I might save some. If it's a matter of opinion, don't push it. Become as the weak. Become as the Jew. Become as the Gentile. Doesn't mean, and you should not ever violate Scripture. But if it's a matter of traditions, then set it aside. If it's a matter of opinion, set it aside. If it's not going to help or better the church, but however it might hurt the church, set it aside. If it might possibly run somebody off, set it aside. Love seeketh not her own. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans 12. Listen to these tender words of affection. Be kindly affectionate one to another. That's not a request. That's a command. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. If we're kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, we'll be stronger, we'll be closer, we'll be knit together, and the mortar holding us together will be love. In honor, preferring one another. This word preferring is proagitamai. Pro means before or above, and gedamai, to consider. To consider above. Put it together. We are to consider your needs. I'm to consider your needs above my needs as long as it's not a violation of Scripture. If it don't mount to a hill of beans one way or another, let you have your way. That's what the strong will do. They will yield to the weak and help the weak to become stronger and stronger. Seventhly, love is not easily provoked. God requires self-control. God requires a Christian to have his thumb on this emotion called anger. And if I don't have my thumb on that emotion and called anger, then that emotion has it a thumb on me. We are to be people that's easily entreated. You should be able to come to me without worry whether I'm going to bite your head off or not. We're not to be quick to anger, none of us. Not a preacher, or an elder, or a deacon, or a member or Sunday school teacher. We should be able to approach one another long as we have the love of God in our words and in our mind and in our heart without worrying about someone getting upset or angry. I've been there, and I imagine you have. I've known brethren that didn't have a choice. I had to go and talk to, and I knew it was going to be an unsettling thing. So we are to be men and women who are not quick to anger, but easily entreated, meaning I can come and talk to you, and you can come and talk to me. But I go back to the last point. If it's a matter of opinion, leave it alone. Leave it alone. In Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind, and we talked about this word this morning, kind, which is also translated merciful. And to be kind requires action. To be kind is to act benevolently towards one and another. Be ye kind one to another. Be ye tender-hearted one to another, forgiving one and another, even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. Eighthly, love, what does love do? Love thinketh no evil. You know, brethren, and I hope there's no one like that here, but it makes my skin crawl. When someone's always thinking negative and bad about a brother or sister. Love thinketh no evil. Not saying you won't have unwanted thoughts pop into your head, because you will. But if we have the love of God in our heart, we'll push that thought out as fast as it popped in there. And one thing that we can do to keep those unwanted thoughts out, David says, Psalms 119 verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I sin not against thee. We need to fill our minds with the Word of God, fill our lives with the Word of God, fill our homes with the Word of God, and there'll be less and less room for ugliness to get into our life. Be like the psalmist in Psalms 1, verse 2. His delights in the law of the Lord, and in it doth he meditate day and night. Referencing negative thoughts. It's also called evil surmising in 1 Timothy 6:4. Evil surmising is sin, sin, sin. Always thinking negative, regardless of what the brother or sister does or does not do. Got something negative to say. That's not a child of God. That's evil surmising, and that's sinful. And evil surmising, it will lead to evil speaking. Jesus in Matthew 12 says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, bring forth good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Let us set aside evil surmising. And it's habit forming. One can become addicted. That becomes your way of life. Just negative, negative. And you know people like that. You know, before the conversation ever comes, they're going to have something negative to say. They should not. We should not do that. They may come to Jesus and set aside evil surmising, and then the next thing you know, they've already slipped back over into it. See, that became natural for them. It became a way of life. This new life, being born again, was different. It was unique. And discouragement and the lack of filling your mind with that which is holy and pure and your life with that which is holy and pure, you go right back to that same old evil surmising. The children of Israel, after witnessing what God did to Egypt, brought Pharaoh to his knees, after witnessing how God parted the Red Sea and they crossed safely on the dry land and got to the other side and witnessed how the Ammonite people came upon them and God delivered them, witnessing the mountains shaking and the voice of God coming forth as thunder, seeing pillars of fire and smoke rise up out of that mountain. 3 months after they came out of Egyptian bondage, the nation of Israel went back to what was natural for them, went back to worshiping graven images, idols that was introduced to them back in Egyptian bondage. They had over 400 years of that. And 3 months after being with God, they went back to the old ways. And the same thing can happen to a new or old member of the Lord's church. We can go back to our old ways because that's where we come from, and that was natural for us. Jesus says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." That's what we are to be, as little children, in the sense, guiltless, innocent. But in understanding, he says you were to be full grown in our mind. But in malice, again, be like little children. Little children, they argue today, they fuss today, but tomorrow they go out and play. We are not to be men and women that fuss today and fuss tomorrow and fuss next week, or hold animosity in our heart towards a brother and sister. If we fuss today, we fuss today, but tomorrow let us rise up and go out and play. Be as little children. Ninth, what does love do? Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Sin does not hold any attraction for me. Standing next to my mama in the Jackson Madison Hospital, holding her hand and praying with her, and then an hour after I got there, maybe an hour and a half, she died. And as I stood there and looked on the lifeless body of my mother, I knew sin did that to her. Sin caused her to suffer year after year after year. How in the world could sin ever hold an attraction for me, knowing it did this to the sweetest and dearest person in life to me? And when the world can understand, when they stand over the loved one in those funeral homes, when they go and they hold the hand of a loved one under hospice care, if they can understand sin did that, then sin will not be very attractive to them either. The first thing we must do, Ezekiel says, is to cast away. We must take off the old garments. Cast away from you all your transgressions, your sins. And then the second thing we're to do is put on some clean garments and make you a new heart and a new spirit. And God asked, why will you die? Implies every man and a woman that's accountable has a choice. Why will you die? And he cries out, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. God does not enjoy that. Then he ends, saith the Lord, wherefore turn yourself and live. Moses says, I set before you life and death. Choose life that you may live. Choose life that you may live. But 10th, love beareth all things. I can't help myself but thinking about the love of my mother. And I'm not up here to testify about my personal life. But you better believe her love beareth up under old Ricky. And I imagine some of you here, the love of your mother had to bear up under some difficult times and for you as well. The mother's love, it bears up under the pain of childbirthing. It bears up rearing up children. And when they get to a certain age, many times, maybe not always, they become disrespectful to that mother, disobedient and rebellious, having no regard for the sacrifices she has made for them in her life, in their life. No regard, think nothing about the many good works she has done. I got to be careful how I say this. But I know of a mama, because she couldn't afford to feed herself in a restaurant, she paid for her son to go in to eat while she sat out in the car. That's a mother's love. And these children that are disrespectful and rebel against their mother, one day that mother's going to die. And all those disrespectful things and ugly things you said and did, I think about the nights my mama laid awake, had no idea where Ricky was. Be gone for days, weeks, months. How that must have just tore her apart. And you better believe it tears me apart. But there's nothing I can do about it. And all those that disrespect their mothers, they die, that mama, there's no do-overs. And the times that you said those ugly things and did those things you shouldn't have done will haunt you. Will haunt you. And possibly haunt you the rest of your life. Well, God's love bears up under. God's love bears up under, knowing throughout all of eternity what's going to happen to his son. But he sent him anyway, knowing he's going to be delivered over to the hands of the children of the devil. Is going to take him and is going to mistreat him and lie upon him and beat him and beat him and beat him with an inch of his life to his one big swollen piece of red raw meat. Knowing they're going to spit in his face and make mockery of him. But his love bared up under. His love for you bared up under. He that could have sent 12 legions of angels to destroy the world and set his son free, but his love bared up under. But like a disrespectful children towards a mother, that mother dies. Oh, there's deep regret. Think about the deep regret in hell. Why was I disrespectful to my Heavenly Father? Why didn't I choose to live for Him? That will haunt you throughout all of eternity. You will curse yourself throughout all of eternity. Why was it about me, me, me? Well, God loves you, and His love bared up under. Imagine being at the foot of the cross, seeing your Jesus suffering in deep, deep agony, knowing what these people had done to him, and then hear him pray, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." His love bared up under, brutally, criminally mistreated, but who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, 1 Peter 2:22. And he wants our love to bear up under. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. In so doing, heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Let us bear up under the ugliness of the world and the mistreatment of the world towards the child of God. What is it love does? Love believeth all things. We're not to be like little birds sitting around with our mouth open, just taking anything somebody wants to put into it. Matter of fact, we are commanded to prove all things, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. 1 John 4:11, beloved, believe not every spirit or teacher, but try the spirit or teacher whether they be of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. However, believeth all things with one another. You tell me something and somebody out there, a child of the devil, tells me something else, I'm going to believe my brother, I'm going to believe my sister. At least till proven otherwise. Love hopeth all things. To live without hope is terrible, but to die without hope. Those in the days of Noah, in Genesis 7, verse 16, when God called Noah and his family to the ark and shut that door, he shut out all hope. The world had no hope. What a terrible thing it is to have no hope. And if we die without hope, then we will stand before the judgment bar of Christ without hope. And God has no pleasure in the death of them that dieth. Choose life that you may live. Solomon wrote, when the wicked man dieth, his hope perishes. There's no hope after death for the disobedient, for the rebellious person. Famous poet once said, a sign should be hung over the doors of hell, and the words upon that sign should read, those that enter in through these doors leave all hope behind. Only the faithful child of God has hope beyond the big blue. Only a faithful child of God has hope come the judgment day. And it's only the faithful child of God, as we ascend towards heaven, can cry out, oh death, where is thy sting? Death is swallowed up in victory, 1 Corinthians 15:55. But if one is not a faithful child of God, they cannot say that. But lastly, love endureth all things. This endureth is a military term. It means to withstand. If I have the love of God in me, I love my God, then regardless of what this old world may hurl at me, my love will endure. If you have the love of God in you, regardless of the obstacles and the troubles and the diversity that may come your way, your love shall stand. It will not fade. It will not crumble. In these few verses, we have 13 points what love does. I should have included the very next statement, but I didn't. Love never faileth. Preacher may fail you. A wife or a husband may let you down. But if you have the love of God in your heart, you will always succeed. You will not fail. And God Almighty will look upon you and smile and say, my Jeshurun, my little righteous people. In closing, in these passages, we can sum them up into three categories. The first category references my love or your love towards others. Love suffereth long. We are to be long in love one for another. Love is kind. We act benevolently one towards another. Love envieth not. It's not about me. Love vaunted not in itself. I'm not going to exalt Ricky. I'm going to exalt you. Love does not behave itself unseemly. I'm going to be considerate towards you. Love seeketh not her own, is not quick to anger or provoke, and thinketh no evil. The second category deals with my love towards God, my relationship. Love of God in me, I don't get pleasure out of sin. I abhor sin. Does it not mean on occasion it might catch my attention? No, because it does. But I'll turn my eyes, I'll turn my head, Because I know what sin can do and has done to some of the dearest and best people in the world. Love, my relationship with God, I do not rejoice in iniquity. My relationship with God, I rejoice in the truth. And thirdly, it deals with my soul. Do not behave myself unseemly. I'm not quick to anger. And I thinketh consistently. I don't think evil. If those thoughts pop into my head, I want to push them out as fast as they popped in there. However, we are not men and women that are perfect. And God does not expect perfection, but he does expect us to strive to always become stronger and better this week than the week before. It's possible to be a kind person and a person of love and still be lost. We know about Cornelius. He gave much alms to the poor. He prayed to God always, and his prayer went up as a memorial before God, but he was still lost. An angel came and told Cornelius, send men to Joppa to Simon the tanner's house and inquire one of Simon Peter, and he'll tell thee words whereby to be saved. He was a good man, but he was a lost man. And it's possible for a man today to be kind and gentle and just take the shirt off their back, but they're still lost. Why? Because they have not heard those words or have not obeyed those words, same words that Cornelius had to obey. And that is, we must believe that Jesus, Son of God, make a decision. God, I'm not perfect. I'm worthy of death, but I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to live for thee. Make that great confession. Yes, I believe, and I'm not ashamed to profess my belief. And then be baptized. That's the moment. Not a moment before, but that is the moment that one goes from being outside of Jesus to being inside of Jesus. And it's in Jesus, 2 Timothy 2:10, where salvation is found. What can we do? Please come. Please give yourself to God. Have the love of God in you. And love means I'm going to act. If you love me, keep my commandment. Act upon that. Please come while together we stand and sing.